Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 34, and going through 28 and verse 9, these are the words of God. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith and daughter, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game, and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of Yahweh before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to what I command you. Go now to the flock, and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. And then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself, and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice, and go get them for me." He went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them on Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father, and he said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please rise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because Yahweh your God brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." And so Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near me. I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which Yahweh has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of earth, plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game? And he brought it to me. I ate all of it before you came. And I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. He said to his father, "Bless me also, my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. And then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of these daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife, in addition to the wives he had. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The main theme of this very long passage, which begins with Esau marrying Hittites and ends with Esau marrying an Ishmaelite, is how is blessing from God to be obtained? Or how is blessing to be obtained? Is it to be obtained in the manner that Isaac thinks, sneaking behind God's back, trying to redirect God's blessing from where God had intended it to where Isaac preferred to see it go? Is it to be obtained by deceiving others, as Rebecca really is the one who comes up with? Is it to be obtained by listening to shrewd but worldly counselors, as Jacob does? And his shrewd counselor is his mother, and she pulls it off without a hitch. But it is worldly, fleshly, sinful counsel. Is blessing is it possible to obtain blessing like Esau hopes and thinks, apart from God's chosen one? Another blessing that doesn't have to do with the blessing of Jacob, who is a type of Christ here, or merely imitating some of the symptoms of the blessed ones. Oh, believers, blessed ones, they don't marry Hittites, huh? And you go and you marry an Ishmaelite. There are many fleshly attempts to seek or give or produce blessing in this chapter. But through it all, what we see is that blessing comes only by God's grace in Christ, only by unstoppable, unassistable, unimprovable, unfakeable, and we might even stick unlosable in between unimprovable and unfakeable grace. First, it's unstoppable. When the boys were in the womb, God said that the older would serve the younger. And so when it tells us that Isaac called to himself his older son, chapter 27 and verse 1, it's calling to mind for us that God has already determined whom he is going to bless. So this plan of Isaac with Esau is doomed to fail, because you cannot undo what the Lord has ordained that he will do. This is good news for us who are sinners and who see the grace of God extended to us in Christ, for we have done much that threatens to undo God's mercy and blessing to us. But as we lay hold of Christ, we know that the blessing of God comes in a by grace in Christ that is unstoppable. Nothing can stop God's purpose to bless all who are in Jesus Christ. So it's unstoppable grace. It's also unassistable grace. Rebecca had this promise from God. And rather than dealing uprightly and reasoning with her husband, who knows why, many of us have been in such positions, and maybe she said, but if I try to reason with Isaac about this, yeah, I know how much he prefers Esau over Jacob. That'll never work. And so she comes up with her way of making it happen. We'll make Isaac think Jacob is Esau. That'll be... The Lord needs our help here. He needs a clever plan with a dead goat and goat skins that imitate the arms and hands of my fantastically hairy older son, that even when the voice is Jacob's, he's like, but that's totally Esau's hands, the goat skin. Mercy. But it's absolutely ridiculous that Rebecca thinks that the Lord needs her help to carry out his promise. And yet we do such things all the time. We know God's promises to us in Christ. And often, instead of thinking what is right and good to do in the situation. We come up with the way to twist God's providential arm and make it come about, because it looks like God needs our help. And whenever we think God's grace needs our assistance, we put ourselves in danger of falling into sin. It is also unimprovable. Isaac starts to give Jacob this blessing, and he starts with the stuff that he loves the best, right? Dew of heaven, fatness of earth, plenty of grain and wine, says Isaac with his belly full of savory food such he loves, and wine that he got to drink. He starts with that, but then he tries to give Jacob, or tries to give Esau, the blessing that belonged to Jacob when he says, "Let people serve you, nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you." Certainly, he was remembering what the Lord had said when the twins were still in Rebekah's womb and tumbling about and fussing so much that she said, "If it is thus, why am I?" And through all these years, they haven't stopped their fighting. But everyone else is going to serve Jacob, and anybody who's his enemy is going to be crushed and destroyed. Does that sound like anyone to you in the Bible? If Sophia weren't going down for a nap, we would ask her who it sounds like, right? Because the answer is, what, Ezekiel? Jesus, right? And there's no other blessing than in being with Jesus and belonging to him. Praise God, all blessing is in Christ, so that there's nothing left over. It's unimprovable. But you can't have the blessing without Christ. So many want a good marriage or a pleasant life or wealth or prosperity or health or entertainment or even just good relationships or to feel good about themselves and do right things. Not all of which is bad, some of which is very admirable and desirable all the time. But God says ultimately the only way to have it is with Christ. And so since Esau and Jacob were set over against one another, Isaac had given a blessing that he thought would preserve Esau's place. But it really was telling the truth about Jacob's place and ultimately Jesus's place. That all blessing must come in him, in fellowship with him, for his sake, because of his worthiness, by his Spirit. Praise God that Christ is our blessing. And whenever you, my dear children, seek something good, make sure that it's good according to the word of God, but B, know that if it is good, then it can be had only in fellowship with Christ. And you lay hold of him by your faith, and then ask for the blessing in conjunction with him, and know that you already have him and everything good. And either what you ask is good, or you won't get it, and praise God if you don't at that point, right? Okay, so the blessing comes by unstoppable grace, unassistable grace, unimprovable grace. I'm even going to say here, unlosable grace, because God gives Isaac a second chance, doesn't he? Isaac thought he was blessing Esau, even though he knew that it was God's purpose to bless Jacob. And so he gets the second chance when he's sending Jacob away. And this time he knows that it's Jacob. And notice the blessing is so, so much more focused on God and his character and his plan of redemption. It's focused on Abraham. It's ultimately focused on Christ. So even though Isaac had messed up horribly, do you see the mercy and patience of God? That he gave him a second opportunity to bless his son, to participate conscientiously, intentionally in God's plan of redemption and the role that he had given him. You and I will sometimes mess up like Isaac, and we will realize that we have been resisting God in our hearts and in our actions. But let us remember that he is the God of unlosable grace. It's amazing how long-suffering he is and how patient he is. Those are parts of his character that he especially likes to highlight, even when he announced his name to Moses, hiding him between the rock and the hard place, as it were. He is Yahweh, Yahweh, God merciful. And he declares himself also long-suffering and patient. And so when you do find that you have sinned and fallen, remember that this is the God that you have in Christ. His promises to you, his blessing to you is unlosable, my dear children. And even the privileges of serving him well can be restored to you. He loves to give second chances the way that he does here for Isaac. So all our blessing comes by unstoppable grace, unassistable grace, unimprovable grace, unlosable grace, and unfakeable grace. Unfakeable grace. Esau sees that Jacob, the blessed one, is being sent to get a wife from another part of the family of Abraham. He says, oh, that must be how to increase my blessedness. I'll go get myself a wife from the family of Abraham instead of these two, in addition to, not instead, it said, in addition to these two Hittite wives I already have. Now, would it have been a right thing at some point for him to marry an Ishmaelite? Absolutely. Are there things that believers do that unbelievers might look and they say, oh, look at those Christians over there. They seem to be joyful. They seem to have hope. Maybe even God is prospering them materially. Who knows? What kinds of stuff do they do? Oh, they love their neighbors as themselves, and they're generous. They're faithful to their husband or their wife. They tell the truth. They don't steal. They work hard. Maybe even they go to church. They learn their catechism. And you can pile up all the symptoms of blessedness and say, aha, this is how I will be blessed. I will do all the things that blessed people do. But he doesn't have Christ. And all those things he does can't make him a blessed person, or any of the stuff that are symptoms or side effects or things that go along with being blessed. It can't make them into blessings for him. He's like the guy in Ecclesiastes, right? Who tries everything, but God doesn't give him joy in knowing God himself above the sun. And so everything is vanity to him. The blessing of God is unfakeable. It is only found in Christ. The symptoms of it are not the blessing themselves. It is the blessedness of Jesus in those things. And so when you and I wish to seek the blessing of God, which is a good and right thing to seek because he loves to give it to us, and we're imitating his thoughts towards us when we seek true blessing, it's not wrong or bad to seek true blessedness. But true blessedness comes only in the way that God gives it. And that is through union with Christ, through faith in him, by God's grace in the Lord Jesus, sustained by his Spirit who applies Christ to you. And so do not, you know, as you pursue, it's right to do all kinds of right things. But as you pursue them by trusting in Christ, knowing that he is the one who secures your blessedness. You're not securing it by the things that you do. God uses those things to give it to you. Those are means. But true blessedness is unfakeable. Don't let your good works end up being like marrying Mahalat, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help me and help my family, help these dear children and their families one day to know the path of true blessedness, that your blessing cannot be stopped, and so that they would have absolute confidence in your goodness towards them as they come only through Jesus for it. Guard them, I pray, from that doubt about whether or not the blessing is coming that leads us sometimes to try and force it. And we often end up sinning trying to help you bring your blessing. Don't let us be like Rebecca in that regard, or receive counsel from such people as Jacob did. Grant, O God, that we would receive the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because it is ultimately the blessing of Jesus, your Son, whom you have given to us, and you have given for us, and in whom you have given yourself to us, and the love in which you determined to do so from before the world began. And so we look to you to apply to us this portion of your word in Jesus' name, and your children here say, amen.